Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How are you doing these days? In the last couple of weeks, I've spoken with a number of people who say they are tired. That since the busyness of Christmas, they just haven't seemed to be able to fully recover their energy and enthusiasm. That the January doldrums just don't seem to be lifting, even though we're into February. As we read today's Old Testament text, we find the prophet addressing people weighed down by their own particular kind of fatigue. A people who had been in exile for a long time. Scholars are uncertain about the start date of the exile. Some think it was 597 BC. Some people think that it was 586 BC. But the exile didn't end until 538 BC, so either way, they were in exile for a long time. The biblical narrative tells us of the sacking of Jerusalem, and that everyone of any importance or stature, of power or education, all got hauled out of Jerusalem to Babylon. The only people that were left in the land were the poorest of the poor that were left there to tend the crops. And the prophet Jeremiah told these people who had been hauled into exile that they should settle in, that they should make lives for themselves, and that they should even pray for the place that they found themselves in, because its well-being would be their well-being. Kind of an Old Testament version of bloom where you're planted. The Old Testament narrative shows that the Israelites had an up and down kind of history. At some times, the kings and people celebrated and worshiped the God who had rescued them out of Egypt, and they followed the commandments because they understood that God wanted only the best for them. At other times, the kings and the people turned away from God. They ignored the commandments. And finally, their disobedience and idolatry landed them in exile in Babylon. Now, during the exile, it would have been really tempting to totally walk away from God. Because in those days, the idea was that if your God would let something like that happen to you, well, it wasn't much of a God, and maybe you should start looking to the Babylonian gods. So the temptation to apostasy would have been huge. But in today's text, Isaiah comes with a good news message, a message that reminds the people that even if they have forgotten God, God has not forgotten them. Isaiah wanted to remind the exiles that the God who had chosen them to be his special people, that the God who had a plan for them from the beginning, from the foundations of the earth, we are told, that the one who created everything and sits over the circle of the earth, the one who is above all and sovereign over all, that God had not forgotten them, and that God was higher and greater than the so-called gods of Babylon. Now, we have to be real about this. The exile had been a disillusioning and depressing experience. It was surely a time that caused the Israelites to question everything that they had ever known about God. By the time Isaiah comes to address them, they are full of complaints. My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right disregarded by God. The equivalent of saying, God doesn't see and God doesn't care. And they were sick and tired of the life that they were enduring in Babylon. There's nothing new under the sun, and what these people felt has been felt by countless people through the ages, and I think maybe sometimes even by us. Sometimes we find ourselves disappointed in our lives. Nothing seems to be going right. And I suspect that the people exiled in Babylon were not the only ones to ever wonder whether God was maybe just not noticing their misery, wondering if God cared, and feeling sick and tired of feeling sick and tired. A people longing for a renewed energy and a renewed enthusiasm for life. In the middle of the dark days of winter, I find myself identifying with that a little bit. But there's good news that Isaiah speaks into their tired and disillusioned state. He reminds them that the all-powerful, sovereign God is their God. That the one who knows the names of all the stars knows their names. And that that God has never stopped caring for them. Into the midst of their tired disgruntlement, Isaiah reminds them of their God who does not faint or grow weary, who knows and understands everything, and who is the source of all power and strength. Oh, some of you haven't quite gotten here yet, but, you know, as we get older, I'm discovering that, you know, the body just doesn't function the way that it used to. And I look at the energy and strength of the youth, and what's that line? It says something like energy is wasted on the youth. They don't know what to do with it. I look a little envious at them, I think. However, our text reminds us that even the youths will sometimes faint and grow weary, that even the youth will sometimes fall exhausted. And then follows those words that are a favorite for many of us, I think. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It is a promise for renewal, for a re-energized life. And I'm sure that I can hear the voice in all of our heads saying, yes, Lord, yes. It's a promise for all who wait for the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not crazy about waiting. We live in a world where we expect to get what we want when we want, never mind this waiting stuff. I sometimes think that maybe we haven't grown beyond the plaintive whine of our children. Are we there yet? So when Isaiah says, wait for the Lord, my tendency is to ask, how long? How long? But beyond that, we need to think a little bit about what exactly does it mean to wait for the Lord. There's all kinds of different kinds of waiting. There is anxious waiting, when we are really nervous about what's going to happen. There is patient waiting. I have to confess that I don't have a lot of experience with that one. There's distracted waiting, where our minds just flit in a million different directions. But I want to suggest that Isaiah is speaking of a particular kind of waiting. A waiting that is focused less on what we want and more on the Lord, who will bring his plans to fruition in our lives. It is a hopeful waiting. It's a waiting that looks to God instead of trying to figure out how we can do it ourselves. There's a saying that God helps those who help themselves. But I happen to think that that particular statement smacks of heresy. It implies that we are the initiators, the prime movers, and that God somehow steps in to complete the job that we have started. But the reality is that it is God's strength that empowers us from beginning to end. It is God's strength that comes to us so that we can mount up with wings like eagles. I used to spend some time every summer at Jasper. It's a beautiful, beautiful park, majestic mountains and pristine, sparkling lakes and rushing rivers. But there is nothing more awe-inspiring than when you see the eagles in the sky. You see them just soaring, kind of like those kites were soaring on the wind. But if you look at eagles, you're going to notice that they don't flap their wings a lot. With wings outstretched, they can glide for miles. They're held up by the currents of wind beneath them. And I think they are a great image for how it is that we live the Christian life. When we wait for God to strengthen us, to empower us, it's not so that we can flap our wings harder and faster. The soaring of the eagle does not come about just because of the strength of the eagle's wings. But once the eagle has launched itself from its perch on the tree, the eagle knows to let the air lift and support. We can think about that as a metaphor for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is literally the wind beneath our wings. Now, it can feel frustrating and sometimes even downright depressing when we find ourselves living in places where we feel trapped or disillusioned or fatigued. This word of God through Isaiah reminds us that it is not about us finding our own way through a difficult time, but about looking to God and waiting for his answer. And sometimes waiting for the Lord is also about resting in the Lord. An old hymn puts it this way: "Art thou weary? Art thou languid? Art thou sore distressed? Come to me, saith one, and coming, be at rest." So if, like the exiles in Babylon, you feel trapped in a life that is not all that you would want it to be, remember that your God is the one who, from the foundations of the earth, created and continues to recreate. Remember that your way is not hidden, that God knows about your situation, and that God cares about your situation. And instead of trying to dredge up the energy for one more massive effort, wait for the Lord. And trust that that Holy Spirit wind will support you in the life to which God has called you. Amen.